Did you win the objective? No.
No.
That's the important thing.
Yes.
That's the important thing. Nope.
This is not it.
There's no second place. There's no second, third, or fourth. There's just you win or you didn't.
You just said you got third place.
You didn't win. You didn't win. You didn't win.
Roll back the tape. Oh my.
You didn't win. The important thing is you didn't win.
Everybody, and welcome to another episode of the Civ Show podcast, where we suck so you don't have to. I'm your host, Moisos.
Raising Zozo.
And Nystagmus.
What a wild, wild first game of 2023 we had yesterday. We had a little bit of everything. Had some friendship, some religion, some warfare, some betrayal, some guests.
Betrayal. I'm going to turn that into a t-shirt, the betrayal that took place.
I do look forward to that being an emote on the Discord server.
It might be. We can think of something. There's already a backstab emote, right? So,
this is better than the backstab.
Yeah, this is way better. This is way better. I got plans for that little picture.
Okay. All right. To give a summary of what we did yesterday, we had on guest White and Nerdy, and we felt like he was the best guest because our game had to do with appeal in national parks and tourism, and why not have the master do it? Since he did it in the Civ Give 2022 with his national parks and his Golden Gate Bridge, which was absolutely chef's kiss. On, and the objective of the game, first we had on a mod that had featured every single natural wonder in the game, I think. If not all of them, definitely a lot of them.
25, I think.
Yeah, 25 out of 37, so.
Did you count that, or are you just basing that off of what I said yesterday?
That's what you said.
Yeah, that's what you said.
Okay, yeah.
So yeah, we're basing it off of what you said.
Okay, so yeah, it didn't seem like every one of them was there, but it did seem like a lot of them were there. And I can't point out like which ones were missing. So if it had all of the natural wonders, and our objective, we got 1 point for every breathtaking tile in our empire, 1 point for every tourist that was generated by a national park or a seaside resort, and 2 points for every natural wonder tile owned. And that was our scoring system. White Nerdy ended up being the winner. He was very humble about it. He thought he did very poorly. And then flexed on us with a triple score.
He said, I don't think I have a very high score. I think he just stomped all of us. It was crazy.
He played Vietnam, of course. I played Inca. Zoe, you played America?
America, yeah.
Bull Moose Teddy. And then Nystagmus, you played...
Canada,
that's right.
Yeah,
your guys' perspective.
I had flashbacks to my game with the very first Civ Give when I was Canada.
So what happened to you?
I got crushed.
Bye. Be more specific. Let's tell a story, please.
I was like last place, man.
Paint a picture.
I was last place in like score, science, everything. This is before Canada got buffed too, right? So it was a pretty bad Civ for me to pick. I think I drafted Canada for some stupid reason too.
No, it was me, because originally I did the coupe, and we believed that coupe was messing up the game, so we opted to erase him.
No, that was from the second Civ Give. I'm talking about the OG, very first Civ Give.
Oh, the original Civ Give. Oh, I see. Yes.
I was Canada in a little corner by myself, but still couldn't do very much, and kind of was a good spectator sport to see that. I saw the nukes off in the distance. Didn't come near me, but they did, destroy Moy cities at the time. So,
why do we gotta keep bringing up this Civ Give?
Because it was the only one with nukes, man.
You know the funny thing? You know the funny thing about that particular Civ Give was, I called on the world to stop Peppermint Butler because he was running away with the game. Nobody listened to me, and he ran away with the game.
Hey, what do you mean no one listened to you?
You listened too late. You listened too late. Everyone that did listen, they listened way too late. So yeah, it was a sad day and then he went and he nuked the world. And it reminded me of how this year, very similarly at the Civ Give, we had Lage running away with the game. and nobody, you know, there was.
I mean, nobody. Of,
we got to stop
Potato
it.
Potato McWhiskey was like them. The most vocal one.
Yeah, Potato McWhiskey. He did the same thing I did. He called on the world that, you know, we got to act. We got to act. Nobody listened.
And where were you, Zoe? What happened there?
I got that was terrible because I basically practiced. I practiced so much for the Civ Giv as Suleiman of the Sultan. Sorry, not Suleiman. Not Suleiman. Who is it? Arabia. Sultan of Arabia. I practiced for like 2 weeks. And I was like, this is the religion I'm going to take. This is what I'm going to do. And I had the tactic down. And then I freaking defaulted to typical old Zozo because I started near a bunch of desert. And I did the stupid work ethic instead of what I had been practicing over and over. And it was a working strategy of religious communities and crusade. And it worked really, really well. And I didn't follow it. I went for and just like... It was an interesting opening because Sassy got, you know, really aggressive. But yeah, ultimately, in the end, Lage ran away with the game and nobody could stop him. I did declare war in the last like 2 hours of the game, hoping that it would be a rallying cry. Nobody joined. Lage played a very good intimidation game where he basically, if anyone voted against him, said I'd declare war on him. Like, we needed to listen to Potato McWhiskey. Although I will criticize, I think Potato McWhiskey should have declared war. I think he should have put his money where his mouth was and led the way because he would have been in a much better position. And had he done that, I would have joined and maybe we could have rallied enough. It was something that if we were smart, everyone at the beginning would be like, okay, to make this game interesting, unfortunately, we all have to team up on this team. We have to, from the beginning, team up on this team. Or there won't be a game. And that's what happened. So I think we learned a lot of lessons. But yeah, it was a clusterfunk.
Back to the game at hand, no? So
back to yesterday's game.
Oh, yesterday. I thought you were talking about the Civ Giv. I thought we were still talking
about
the Civ Giv.
We're all over the place here for some reason. Like, he made one reference to the 2021. Then we started talking about this year's. And then we weren't supposed to talk about yesterday's game.
Well, you shouldn't have referenced the Civ Giv at all. And I wouldn't have talked about it. Yesterday's game, I was Teddy. Originally, I was actually the Inca. And because I think... It was because the Maori were in it. I started in an absolutely non-Incan, like a flatland. The only local mountain was a volcano, so it wasn't even a mountain. So that was terrible. And then when we did a remap, I had the absolutely best Incan start ever, where I was basically wrapped. I had this like whole circle of mountains around my capital with hills that would have produced tons of food. But then, oh, and the stagnant says, yeah, something happened over there. It's turned beside a city state.
Wow. 2 tiles away from a city state.
and by the way, I didn't make us read lobby for that. I don't know what you're trying to rewrite history for.
No, it wasn't that.
You like, kept desyncing, buddy. It was on you.
we were using a mod that we hadn't tested, which is something, you know, we're going to be better at that.
We learned, though, that if I need to change
mod,
a file,
we all mod.
You all need to change a file.
Yeah.
The same file. So
I think that just makes sense. But I think, though, if we reflect, we had to do that with the Start With Three Settlers mod that we played like a year ago. Where we had to edit it and then we all had to make the same change. And I think we just forgot because we hadn't done that in a long time. It was a very ambitious first game of the year. So especially because like the easiest thing to do would have just been, all right, let's do the leaders. We haven't done any of the new leaders, you know, because leading up to the Civ show, Civ Giv, we just had different sorts of episodes going on. Maybe that'll be what we do like next week is let's look at the new leaders. But I ended up with Teddy, and for me, my start was subpar. There was a decent amount of appeal, but next to no forests. And, you know, that's a big thing for Teddy. And most of the natural wonders I started near, none of them had trees around them. Teddy, I think he really needs those big, big yields and places to build preserves, and I had neither one. And I think in hindsight, I should have gone vampires and not void singers, because I think in the end, the vampire castles, there's a couple places I could have put them that would have been like really epic. In the end, I don't know, I think I was third place. There was a very fun moment, though, where Moy acted against me, I think, on a vote. So I decided that in retribution.
No, you wanted me to go to war with our guest, and it would have been another case of all three of us ganging up the guest, and I stood up for the guest.
It wasn't the guest, nerdy. Though. Like, I wanted to go to war with, nerdy. Like, Sweden or something like that.
No, it was white nerdy.
I don't remember. I don't remember triggered. I just remember you triggered it. You did something that prompted me to do the only thing I could do. I
decided to not go to war with white nerdy because you wanted me to go to war with white nerdy.
There was something else. I got to review. That was
literally it. And I'm like, I'm not doing that.
And
yeah, review the tape.
Yeah, we will. We'll review the tape. And yeah, so I declared religious war because we were allies. So I declared religious war. And of course, like, I wasn't winning that game. So I went and we were playing with the extended religion. So I did, like, my religion was designed for theological combat. So it was a nice, like, half hour of banter back and forth about, you know, the merits of nonviolent warfare. And I was kicking your butt. And I was using your tunnels against you. And I was converting your faith was getting wiped out. But of course, you then utilized, once the alliance ended, first turn conventional warfare, and we got the best t-shirt worthy achievement ever that Moy saw us. It's what the betrayal. You got the betrayal achievement that you betrayed Raising Zozo. And yeah, you went to, although the cool thing was too, though, like, I was the underdog for the war, but because of how the map was set up,
the chokehold,
I had, like, chokeholds that I would have given you a run for your money. And I had Valletta. So I was, like, pumping up my like, right away, I built a medieval wall. And yeah, that was just a very, very highly defensible. But you had technology and culture.
I would have eventually gotten technology.
Sure, sure.
Like eventually, by it, like, literally within the next, like, 15, 20 turns.
Well, by then I would have had blah 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 blah.
Yeah, that's fine, but I would have had, like, jet bombers. So
sure.
It doesn't matter what.
Whatever. It doesn't matter. Did you win? Did you win the objective? No.
No.
That's the important thing.
Yes.
That's the important thing. Nope.
This is not it.
There's no second place. There's no second, third, or fourth. There's just you win. Or you didn't.
You just said you got third place.
You didn't win. You didn't win. You didn't. You didn't win.
Tape. Oh my.
You didn't win. The important thing is you didn't. You didn't win. And I won the moral victory, which, hey, in our games, there are only two victories. There's the actual objective victory and the moral victory. And I won the moral victory,
which is the moral victory is always, like, made after the fact to make Zoe feel better.
That's the perfect. That's the best part. That's the hey, I give them away sometimes. I'll give a moral victory away.
I got a moral victory, too. I took two of Sweden's cities. That made me feel better about myself.
There you go.
Yeah.
I would have taken their capital, too, but Egypt kept stopping me from converting their city.
That map was messed up, though.
Yeah.
I think, like, next, I liked it. I thought the premise was cool, and it's one I'd like to explore again, but I think we should do what Otter suggested, which is have one of us make the game with all the leaders that we want, save it, and then turn off the mod and reload. I swear the map changed over and over, and I think that it ended up turning into a Pangaea, or like it was the worst continent as an island ever made.
The smallest other continent ever. Well, like, it was just Egypt on there,
and it was like south to west.
Were there even any islands? It says continents and islands. Were there even any islands in the map?
I don't know. I don't know. Like, we didn't get to really explore it.
There was a big body of water. Like, it was so weird.
It was a terrible map. So I think that I'd like to try it again in the future. It was fun, but, like, yeah, the map was, I think, would have been a lot more fun if it was actually several continents and islands and we weren't so clustered together. Like pretty much every civ was on the one supercontinent, and then Egypt was by itself. There probably was another civ that was by itself.
That was it.
Just Egypt. So, yeah, that did not make it as great. White and Nerdy, of course, like, is the preserve master. So he ran away.
The master, yeah.
You know, he totally ran away with the game. And he wasn't even supposed to be here today. But, you know, he got jived in. It was great, though, having for our opening game that White Nerdy was there. So,
yeah, absolutely. Terrific guest. If you haven't followed White Nerdy, you definitely should follow White Nerdy. He has some of the coolest content you can see for Civilization VI. He played Vietnam. So Vietnam, if you don't remember, actually has the ability to plant trees earlier than others. And so the reason why he had so many breathtaking tiles is that he got that Civic, was able to plant trees since the medieval era.
Yeah.
Whereas, you know, I was able to plant trees, but it was much, much, much later. Like conservation. I announced when I got conservation, right?
Yeah.
I was in the industrial era. It was like maybe like an hour, maybe a little bit less to go in the game. And that's when I started planting trees in national parks. And my moral victory is that I made like 5 national parks. I'm like, okay.
I only got 3 done. But yeah, I know, okay. I know for, you know, Teddy is one I want to learn how to play him. I had when I was doing some Good Morning Amenities, I had like one game in particular where I was the Ottomans, but I started between these like 3 rivers and it was all grassland trees, all grassland forest. So the entire area that I was in and beyond in like both directions was high appeal forests.
Nice.
And in the first game I played, there was a forest fire that ripped through and like jacked up the yields. Mm-hmm. And I was like, oh man, I chose the wrong governor. I chose the Magnus when I should have chose Freya so that I could have like just utilized all of that. So I was like, okay, you know what I'm going to do? Because on Good Morning Amenities, I'll do a turn 0 reload as opposed to a save scum. So I did a turn 0 reload. And then the forest fire never came, ever.
Because forest fire is a
random. I know it's random. Yeah, it's random. Right? And I had a couple games, and it never came, never came, never came. I was so disappointed that the forest fire didn't come. But I was like, man, this map would have been so good with Teddy. And yeah, it made me start exploring Bull Moose more. So I think he's one that I want to learn. I think in general, like the American wildcard ability is super useful. Like having 2 wild cards so early,
your diplomatic into a wild
card. And it turns your diplomatic into a wild card. So like you have 2 wild cards right away. And there's so few civs that can do that. So, yeah, like I think that there's so much versatility with 2 wild cards that you can do, especially like, you know, in a dark age or something like that, where you got some wild cards that are actually in there. So, yeah, I didn't use him as well as I should have. And I didn't expand as quickly as I should have. But also, like, I just like for holy sites, there was nowhere good to build one. Like, so I had a hard time getting faith until later when it didn't matter.
Well, it did for your moral victory anyway.
For the moral victory, yes. When I overcame you with my
Which
army.
Which faith are you making per turn by the end of the game?
By that time, I think like 200 faith a turn.
Yeah, wow. It was like 100 and something, I think.
Like, and I went with, because of the timer, I rushed through my Pantheon. So I just took the Earth Goddess. And that might have not been the best choice. I don't think I had enough... Yeah. It did definitely help me with the faith early on, but there just wasn't enough. I had a lot of charming tiles and not enough breathtaking tiles. And Earth Goddess is one where either Earth Goddess or Cthulhu, if you are the ridiculous Inca and with extended religions on, it's ridiculous. Yeah. Like, especially with Cthulhu, because all of your mountains are making food and production and science.
Yeah.
Like and the science is passive.
Yeah, it's
a joke.
What about Canada? What happened? You haven't talked in a while, this thing. Tell us about your game.
So Canada, my plan was to just go with Void Singers and Dance of the Aurora with my religion, and just basically push up my yields that way. I didn't get a whole lot of tundra. Like where there was tundra, there was like a lot of volcanoes. But I actually found the most wonders in the game, I think. Like I like there were like 10 of them near me. The thing that was like the thorn in my side was one, because the, you know, mortal city, like multiple cities from the AI, Sweden kind of boxed me in that corner. And when I tried, because we had barbarian clans on, it's been a while since I played with barbarian clans. Yeah. And they were like a thorn in my side. And then of course I was next to a volcano, which kept my capital at population one for the first 25 turns or so.
Did it at least increase the yield?
It did, and it paid off, but like it stopped me because there was one time where I was like about to pop a settler, and then the volcano exploded, and I couldn't build the settler anymore because it was back to pop one, right? So I was slowed down to expand because I was trying to expand eastward as well into Sweden so they wouldn't cut me off, and then I couldn't do that. And then when I went the other way, the barbarians gave me trouble, especially since they, you know, since the computer Mampucci and John Curtin were like completely out-teching us. Like, but the barbarians were always like one tech ahead of me. So I had to have like three units escorting all my settlers whenever I was settling west. Otherwise, they would just kill them.
Yeah. I had a crossbowman situation that for like an era, one single crossbowman was like terrorizing my civilization.
Yeah. So my moral victory came with I decided to just be like, you know what? I'm mad at Sweden. So I decided to declare war on them. And I need to practice war more often, like sieging cities, bringing them down. And I think I got a pretty good efficient, like I was able to take down two cities with only one siege weapon, which I was pretty proud of, until they built like Renaissance walls, and then I was stopped. But
yeah, I'll do it.
But basically, like with the trebuchets are actually pretty good. I never really used them before.
Yeah, they're good even with medieval walls. I think.
Yeah, they are.
That's when they're like, and then bombards like really kill medieval walls, and then they're okay against Renaissance. Then you need artillery.
Yeah, so I was pretty good at like getting units into position to siege, and then knocking down the cities basically. So that was my moral victory on that, but it got ran away from me just because I wasn't able to expand fast enough. I didn't get enough tundra for the Dancer Aurora to really make a huge difference for me. I was really hoping that Void Singers would help with that faith adjacency bonus and stuff. And then the other reason why Sweden made me declare war on them was because they kept trying to spread their religion in my civilization. So I had to stop them. And then I took Crusade and decided to go on the offensive with it. So I think I learned a couple of good things in that game, even though I wasn't like anywhere close. I think my score was like pathetically lower than everyone else's. And I would have had a much better score if I kept some of the cities that the barbarians. Oh, yeah. I had barbarians like raise two of my cities.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, I had a volcano. Then I had the Dead Sea. And then I had the Cliffs of Dover settled and Crater Lake settled. But Cliffs of Dover, I couldn't keep because the barbarians raided the cities that I was trying to build cities there. So
it sounds like a Nystagmus-esque game.
Yeah, it's pretty on brand.
Yeah. Speaking of on brand, we are running out of time, so we need to move topics here. Why don't we talk about the 2022 reflections, pros and cons of what happened in 2022? Let the viewers know. I guess we can start with the lack of podcasts that was in 2022. Anyone want to take this away?
Sure. I think we had, you know, we did have a situation sort of that there wasn't a whole lot to talk about. And I think that like that was one of the issues that we could do reflection on the last session, but there wasn't anything, or at least from our maybe perspective, there wasn't anything worthy of speaking to. I think that was part of it. And I do know that like for at least for me, 2022 was kind of there personally, it was a rough year. So it made the dedicating myself to an evening harder. And especially when I started working nights in midsummer. Right. That was like sort of the nail in the coffin for like, OK, well, I can't do it on this day. We didn't do as many as we'd like to have. We got a couple in at the end, and I think we've gotten really good. You know, people are excited that we got the podcast going again. So that's at least my take.
I think just a lot of not a lot of talk about. I think we've been doing this for a while now, like 3 years now, and I don't know. Like it's taken a toll on. Just we had to be here. We had to be here every Sunday, and like weekends is also the time to visit family, at least for me, like extended family. And so it's kind of hard when you know, they're trying to they're trying to see you and you're trying to see them, but you can you're only really available one day a week, which is the Saturday. And then Sunday, like, you have to rush home and then everything's rushed and then we're all late and then we're freaking out. And it's just it was you know, doing this for 3 years and committing to the same time, same place, it does take a toll. And so at least for me, that was the hardest part. Still feeling that now, but I feel like we have organized a flexibility between us now,
mm-hmm.
where, you know, if something were like that were to happen, where one of us has to take a week off, I think the others can now adapt. We're in a position where we can adapt to that now. So that was kind of the con for 2022. Pros, though.
There were some pros. There are definitely some pros.
Actually, before I want to get to that, I want to hear from Nystagmus if he has anything to add to the cons.
But I was just saying that you guys said, like, I know that I stepped back for a little bit, too, just because family demands. You know, having a child, a little child who's like 2 years old, toddler, tearing everything apart that they get their hands on, it can be difficult. So, but now that, you know, that's being kind of sorted now, I'm going to be more involved this year. So, which I'm looking forward to. I know last year was me kind of stepping back and only being there like maybe half the time. So I'm hoping to be here more often than not.
So really, it's Nystagmus's fault, I think, is what.
Well, I think what happened was I'm the balancing fulcrum in which this. No,
not wrong. There's truth to that.
Here's me thinking, like, man, me and Moy are getting better at working together, and nope. Every time, it's always 3 steps forward and 5 steps back.
Well, what about some pros? Moy. Some pros.
There are definitely. So we got a website now. So that's, I think, a big pro. We've been talking about it for a while. And even that, it was there's just some screw ups securing the domain and you know, Google Workshop and all that stuff. So getting that going, and it's with a format that I'm familiar with and Moy's familiar with. So it's something that I think that's really exciting. It's a rallying site that we can really start, I think, to utilize to really show what we're all about, what the community's doing and everything that's going on. And it had a very functional purpose this year for the CivGive 2023. And I think it was something that a lot of the participants really appreciated too. So I'd say like that was a very big positive for 2023 or 2022 rather, was that now we have this website and we're going to totally make it fantastic and utilize it.
My pro is I think we really furthered our brand and we, I think, identified who we are as creators, how we can bring people together for not only CivGive, but for other events like the Jeopardy and the drafts and everything like that. I just think we've further solidified what the Civ show is and what it provides to the content space in Civilization, where, you know, we don't stream every day. There's other people who do that. Boast does that. White Nerdy does that. Foibles does that. OnSpot does that. They're the people who stream every day. We are a weekly show. And so, like, we kind of automatically are behind everyone else. And so for us, in order for us to stand out, we need to do these big events. Since, right? So we do CivGive. I think we're going to plan maybe, don't quote me on this, maybe some more events in 2023. I'm looking forward to that. But that's my takeaway from 2022 is just furthering our identity for the Civ show.
And even bigger focus on, you know, being there for our friends and our partners. And really, it's something I think we were getting really good at and maybe fell by the wayside, but we still can do it. And it's helping bringing communities together and different groups together. I think like this year's CivGive 2022 was a really great example of what we can achieve when we work at it. We brought like some very awesome organizations together. You know, we brought 2K Foundation and Gamers Outreach and Parsec and all of the players, you know, it was and Twitch and, you know, all of these individuals and organizations together. And we did something really Tiltify, you know, really fantastic. And I think it's something that we take for granted that we're actually good at doing that sort of stuff. And that it's like it is a core competency. And it's how we kind of started was like, let's inspire leadership and let's inspire communities and let's reach out and give and what can we do to, you know, foster that in others. So I think, you know, that 2023 is really fantastic for that, and 2022 rather, and 2023 will be even better, that we're going to get even better at doing that.
I think everyone nailed it on the head there. You know, with what you guys said so far, like, the good things that came out of 2022 is kind of like solidifying around what we'd like to do. And also gave us, kind of even in the cons, you know, a reflection on what to do in the future, right, to make it better. So that every, you know, I'm kind of a glass half full. Every, even failures are learning exercises.
For sure. For sure.
Right. So, you know, allowed us to learn about, like, what can we change this year, which I know we're going to chat about a little bit today before we stop, to make things better. So for this year, you know, I know that I'm going to be more involved as well, and we're going to be kind of trying to hit the ground running. But we decided that together, and you guys can step in if I'm off base or if I'm just, sure, I don't want to speak for anybody. But in 2022, one of the big problems was that we kind of like didn't have a solid plan going forward for any of the games. It was kind of like always a little bit more last minute, kind of last minute thinking when it came to that. So one of the big things for 2023 that we're going to do is trying to create content for you guys on a regular schedule that you can expect at in different areas of where we are. So one on the Twitch, one on YouTube, on our website, and then also the podcast. So we have all these different areas where you can listen to us in case you can't get sick of us too often. You can always find out more. And so a couple of things that we're going to be bringing back this year is, one is the solo streams. So if you like us all fighting with each other, but you want to see us individually, we'll each be getting a solo stream every so often. It won't be every week for everybody, but there will be one solo stream every week on average, in addition to the Civ show on Sunday nights. In addition, we're going to revitalize the YouTube content as well. So we're expect to see some things there. And we're also going to start coming up with theming games around months. So for example, like 1 month will be, it won't be like a straitjacket. It won't make it so that we have to do specific things, but a theme that you all can expect from us. Like, you know, this is going to be a month where we do a lot of mods, for example, or a lot of different kind of things behind that. So there's going to be more structure to the content. So, and check out on YouTube. Basically, I'm trying to start this all off on February. So in the very first day of February is when we'll drop a YouTube channel video that explains that a little bit more in depth, in case you want to know more. But definitely expect more content, more regular content. And I hope, honestly, I think because all the talented people who are around me right now, a better content that we've been producing in the past. So that's our kind of take for 2023.
I have nothing to add to that. That was perfect.
I guess the only thing that I can add is for 2023, like, definitely check out the website, www.thecivshow.com. And by all means, podcast listeners, like, give us anything you'd like to see on the site for your easier access and finding. I think 2023 too, that one of the other things outside of Civ that I think we're hoping to do more of is reaching out to new streamers and getting help them get started. And there's all sorts of ways that we can do that to help build and grow the community, always getting new perspectives on things. And I think we take for granted the skills that we've developed over these last 3 years, because we've been doing this for over 3 years, right? And we want to share that. And also, you know, we're curious, like we've done the surveys and things before about looking at maybe things outside of just Civ 6. Like, I think Nostagus mentioned, we're going to try out older. Oh, OK, well, we're going to try out older Civs. And, you know, what do you think of that? And having, you know, do you want to see us try other turn-based strategy games or real-time strategy games, you know, or even turn-based RPG? You know, I wanted to show you guys Gloomhaven, and then social events with our fellow casters, you know, where we go on their show and where we play games with them, where we, you know, we had this amazing game, nine of the Civ givers slash casters. We did a game of Among Us and it was so much fun. It was a really delightful night. So I think I'd like to see us do more of that. And I think we all really are keen to do more stuff like that, where we're being social and just having fun, but still absolutely celebrating this game we love, Civilization. But there are so many other Civs out there. Civ 3, Civ 4, Civ 5, even Civ Revolution. I've got my old Xbox 360. If I can figure out how to crank that, although it's probably on PC now and I can just do it that way.
I don't think it is. I think it's exclusively a console.
If I can figure out how to stream, even if it's like a camera on my screen as I play
I won't allow that.
Civ Revolution.
We have a standard here.
I'll have to do it from the Raising Zozo one. But no, because I think that... that one thing that's kind of neat that we might be able to develop over time is where we clip. This is where this started. This is where this idea started. This was the Civ that brought us this idea, right? So Civ Revolution was the first Civ on console, and it brought the idea of your units being able to just make a boat and sail instead of, I believe it was that one. Or no, it was, wasn't make a boat and sail. You still had to make a boat, but the boat could hold as many units as you wanted, I believe is what it was. So that was still a new idea. They used to, Civ 4 was, you had a limit that the ship could carry, right? And then eventually that turned into, well, we'll just have embarking. You know, so it's interesting seeing these first uses of things. And there's a couple other things like that. So piecing together, where did this come from Civ 6? I think you'll find in all the older games, this is where that idea came from. So yeah, I'm looking forward to exploring some Civ history for sure.
So am I. I'm literally looking forward to Civ 4, I'll be honest with you. But
I think you'll love it, Moy. I think you'll love it. And Civ 3
once. Like,
I think what you'll like about Civ 3 is how janky it is and how it introduced the idea of the cultural border, which was like revolutionary from previous, Civ 1, Civ 2, where previous Civs it was just you couldn't build within so many tiles of another civilization. That was the cultural borders was introduced, but there were so many broken things that just like didn't work. And I think you would find it entertaining, but then Civ 4, I think you'll love how complex the spying was. It was really neat.
Oh, I'm looking forward to that.
It was really neat. Yeah. Like being able to like poison water supplies or plant nuclear devices and like all sorts of really neat things that Civ 4 introduced. So yeah, I think I will enjoy going through those games with you guys. It would be actually really cool if Civ 2 was a possibility. I don't think it is.
I don't think it is.
We'll have to look into it. I don't think it is.
No, I don't even know how to do multiplayer with that.
Well, there was a multiplayer option, but it was, I believe, done through Hot Seat or through email. So it is something that it may be possible. It would just be a little strange, but it may be possible to like do the email method where we email turns and just try to see, have the patience to do back and forth like that. Yeah. Maybe it's not too different from the timer. Like you could technically have a stream like that throughout if there is a Civ 2 out there available for download. I don't know. I have the original CDs. This machine doesn't have a CD driver.
I think just count that one out. Let's start with Civ 3.
Yeah,
and we'll go from there.
Yeah, we'll leave it also up to the imagination what else we come up with in the coming months.
Well, and like the game Civilization, when you download it, it does come with Beyond Earth. Or no, we got that, but it Colonization was one that that came with it, that I have at least, that is a different type of Civ. And it is a weird kind of very era specific Civ. But I bet you if we played it, we'd be like, oh, this is where this idea came from, you know. So definitely there are some Civs out there that I think we can explore.
All right. We are out of time, so why don't we wrap it up here? If you guys haven't checked out our website, go ahead and check it out. We're going to be updating it. We're going to have blog posts. We're going to have our videos on there. We're going to have a lot of content that we'll figure out on the way at thecivshow.com. You can check us out on YouTube as well. As Nystagmus has said previously, we're going to have more content on our YouTube. We have a new series that we're in the works of called the Succession series, or Pass the Save, I think is what the official title of it is, and where We're going to pass the save file between me, myself, Nystagmus, and Zoe. And we're not going to tell each other what we're doing or have any pins. We're not going to have any pins to tell each other what we're doing. We're just going to give the save file over and they're going to play their set of turns. And we'll see how we can somehow work together to form a victory over these opponents.
With no communication.
No communication. Check us out on Twitter if you haven't as well. This is where you get the most up-to-date information on everything involving the Civ Show and the Civ Show friends. And lastly, join our Discord for more frequent and intimate conversations with the hosts and the community. That's it.
That's it. Thank you so much, everybody. Hope this rocked your boat.
Okay.
It's my new line. Rock the boat. I can go both ways. Rock the boat.
Boat the rock? All right. Bye.
Damn.
Bye.
Bye.